Reading from Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." This is Mark 16, 15.
Reading from John 3:30. "I must decrease and he must increase." That's John 3:30.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, August 13th, 2025. And if you say to yourself, "Wow, that sounds like what I heard yesterday." Yeah, this isn't a Groundhog Day, a repeat with Bill Murray. That's verses that we shared yesterday, but we didn't get to talk about it because I got so enthusiastically involved with talking about Gospel Encounter, and we got to hear a portion of Nick Hurst. Just got to begin hearing a little of your testimony and life journey, but you didn't get to do a shout out while Chelsea, I know you were bragging her up and saying, "Oh, Mark, I punt beyond the coverage." What do you know? I hit it out of the park. So we'll come back to her. And we had a lot to say about Gospel Encounter, and we want to highlight some of the dates that are coming up. But we also didn't get to mention why Mark 16:15 and John 3:30 were part of your favorite verses and some of your life story. So if you missed yesterday's broadcast during Testimony Tuesday, it can be accessed anytime at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org under Mark and Friends tab. And it was a powerful, I believe, life-giving testimony, because there might be some of you wrestling with doubt or disappointment, or you just feel beaten down by life, or as even was mentioned yesterday, Nick at points said, "What is the meaning of life? Why am I here?" Well, God answered his prayer, and I believe will answer your prayers. It says in James 4:8, "Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you." And so if you've never entertained that there's a God that loves you, or that he cares for you, or that he desires the best for you, trust me, but trust the Bible. It says, "Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you." I promise you, if you will seek God out, if you will ask him to reveal himself, he'll do it in unique and special ways, very personal for you. So challenge him on that. Say, "God, if you really exist, I've been through the gamut. I've been through hard times. I don't know if I can trust you." Well, just entertain the idea that he's a good, loving father and that he does care. Just give him that and see what happens, because I believe he'll reveal himself to you in a variety of ways. So I have two friends in the studio again, back from yesterday, to talk about God's love, to talk about some things that are happening in our community in the coming days, because we believe revival is going to take place. And God's heart is that all come to know him. And so not just you senior saints that are finishing well, that love God and have been spoiled by his goodness these many, many years. We want those that are far from God to experience his love, his care, his compassion, because he does love you, and he showed it through the Lord Jesus Christ. And these two are followers of Jesus, as am I, and I'm excited to share them with you. So we're going to talk a little bit about what Nick shared with the ministry leaders at last Thursday's luncheon, because he gave three kind of brief points, but I think they're pertinent for us all. And so we're going to talk about them. We're going to talk a little about Gospel Encounter, but because I forgot to do this yesterday, why Mark 16:15 and why John 3:30? This is a question to Nick Hurst, who's in from South Carolina, where he's left his beloved wife for a few days to come join us and minister to our community as a part of the Gospel Encounter team. And he's going to be back in the fall to share with our community. So talk a little about Mark 16, John 3, and then we'll have Daniel jump in a little more about Gospel Encounter and his passion for reaching the lost.
That's awesome, Mark. And again, I just love your passion for what you do. Yeah, so when I was a young man and I was a brand new follower of Jesus, I began reading through the Bible, and especially the New Testament, the four Gospels of Jesus Christ, the four accounts of his life from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And as I read through the book of Mark, it's the shortest and probably the first written of the four Gospels.
The go-go Gospel.
There you go, yeah, right? Yeah.
A lot of activity. So people are like, "What does he mean, the go-go?" Because he's going here, he's going there. There's a lot of miracles happening.
Gospel of action.
Yeah, gospel of action.
There
the go-go gospel.
Yeah, that's right. And I got to the very last chapter of the book of Mark, and I read this verse where Jesus is talking to his followers, and he gives them this mission, this commission, as we call it, the Great Commission. And he tells them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all of creation, to all people. And I took that personally. Mm. I took that literally. And that is exactly what I tried to do as a young 14-year-old in my local context where I knew I could make a difference as a young man, all the way into my late teenage years, into my early 20s, where I met my beautiful wife, Chelsea, and she is amazing. She is so thoughtful and kind and loving and caring, and she sees the world so much differently than I do, and she is such a compliment. She's my best friend. She's my partner in ministry, and we've traveled the world together preaching the good news of Jesus together, and actually from right here in southern Illinois, from a really, really small town in the southern part of the state. And so she's just the best companion that I could ever ask for. Mm. But, you know, that's really where that began in me, was really seeing the mission of Jesus and taking it forward. And we still do that today. And then the other verse, John chapter 3, verse 30, one of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture, John chapter 3. But that verse at the very end of the passage in verse 30, that I must decrease and he must increase, that helps me keep my eyes on the ball, so to speak, of what this life is about, of why I'm here. And it's not so that I can build a big name. It's not so that I can build a big brand or a big business. And if God gives me influence and favor and a business, then to God be the glory for all of those things. But the reason that we're here is not so that we can build a big empire for ourselves, but so that we can exalt his kingdom.
Yeah, and I wrote down the word perspective. It clarifies what our perspective should be. He's the great one. You know, many times Dr. Dave Webb would share with this men's group I was a part of, we want to sit on our thrones, but when you look at it, it's like a little Tonka toy that we're sitting on saying, I'm in charge, I'm king of my throne room. And it's great when you think of those little plastic, I can't think of the brand name, but you know, we sit on those little thrones thinking that we rule, when, oh, how silly to think of the sovereign, almighty, all-powerful God. And yeah, we want to have that perspective that he's the one that should be great and honored and lifted on high, and we need to become less. And he does honor that when we're humble and we recognize his greatness.
Amen.
Now, Daniel, I know yesterday as Nick was sharing some of his testimony, you were just getting fired up. You couldn't hardly sit in your seat because you love a testimony. You love hearing a transformed life because that's what God's put on your heart. You love to see people equipped to hear the gospel. You love to equip people to be sensitive, to be good listeners so they can discern what to say or what not to say to somebody. But Gospel Encounters' passion is to equip people to know the Lord Jesus Christ and then to equip them in such a way that they go. And I love that verse. I think there's also a parallel verse like in Matthew, but he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news. And I love that word, go into. It's kind of an action word where as you go, you don't just go to China or go to the supermarket, the one place, and you preach it. It's as you go, wherever you go. And that's a unique calling for all of us. It's not just we go to church on Sunday and we worship God. It's as we go, we worship him. We prepare the night before. We get ready to worship him throughout the week. But I love that concept. It's as we go, wherever we go.
Yeah, amen. That's right. You're preaching it. And so, yeah, Gospel Encounter, we're here for Engage CU. And Engage CU is all about just helping mobilize the churches and the Christians across the Twin Cities here to share the gospel. And we're doing outreach in all the different areas of the community. We're doing homeless outreach, single mom outreach, campus ministry outreach, reaching out to young people, doing children's book readings, all the way to a large festival on September 20th at Centennial Park, where we're going to have BMX riders doing flips and tricks. We're going to have bounce houses. We're going to have 3-on-3 basketball tournament. We're going to have food trucks, going to have local bands come out and play. And there's going to be powerful stories of hope. And there's going to be, the gospel is going to be preached, and there are going to be souls that are going to be saved. Mm-hmm. But all these other things are leading up to that day. This is called saturation evangelism, where instead of just focusing on one day to try to gather everyone, you know, that one day, we do all these different outreaches, just like Jesus left the 99 to go after the one. Each micro outreach is us leaving the 99 to go after that one demographic of people, saying, hey, Jesus loves you. Jesus sees you. We see you. You're not alone here. And the good news is for you. right? And so we're doing all these outreaches throughout August and September. We're doing a Gospel Encounter conference, which is called Engage Conference. We've got people coming from all over the world. Desmond Henry from the Luis Palau Foundation is coming here. Millions of people have come to Christ through the Luis Palau Evangelistic Organization. Desmond is one of the event coordinators for all of their outreaches all around the world. And we've got guys coming like Brad Butcher for Passion from People. Mm-hmm. All the way from Portland, Oregon, people coming from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I mean, these guest speakers are incredible. And Nick Hurst, who is here in studio with us, coming all the way from South Carolina. Man, Champaign-Urbana is going to be so blessed by these incredible communicators and gospel proclaimers. And, you know, they're all so bold and influential. But here's the thing, Mark, about every one of them that's going to be speaking at the conference. Every one of them are humble. Mm-hmm. Every one of them walk in a real humility before the Lord. And our theme for the entire Engage CU is John 1:14, which is Jesus Christ full of grace and truth. So our theme is Engage CU with grace and truth. And I believe that all of the lifestyle evangelism trainings that we have been doing, this Engage conference, all of the speakers, all of our ties with churches and pastors, we are saturating it with this message. Let's engage the lost with truth and grace.
I'm writing down different notes here, but I think there's like four different things that you can attend in the coming days. Next week, you're going to have some training on campus, basically, where for like 5 days, you'll be going on campus and you're meeting at Stone Creek Church. Midtown location on like University Avenue.
Yeah.
And we'll give a phone number or website for people to get all the information, because I think you have it all laid out.
GospelEncounter.com. Just go to Champaign 25 and you'll see the entire schedule.
GospelEncounter.com. So next week there'll be some training, and then you'll literally go on campus, the U of I campus, and witness in teams, and that'll be a great thing. On September 4th, that's the next ministry leader luncheon that I host at noon, but that evening, it's about 3.5 weeks away, there'll be a special time of prayer. Usually it's about 6:30 to maybe 8 o'clock, about an hour, hour and a half of powerful community-wide prayer, different churches, denominations, people from different life experiences coming together to pray for God to do a unique work in the greater Champaign-Urbana and vicinity. And so that'll happen September 4th. Then September 12th and 13th, that's that engagement conference right in Champaign at New Horizon Church with our good friend Pastor Mark Jordan, Mr. Encouragement. So the Gospel Encounter, September 12th and 13th, 2 days of great instruction, testimony time, preaching, some worship. It's something that you'll want to register as soon as you can and be a part of. And then the culmination of this year or so plus preparation of churches working together, many groups praying up, that'll be September 20th. And we'll be saying a lot more about that in the coming days, but that'll be like an area-wide event at a big park to bring everyone together with worship and testimony time. So September will be a busy month for many of you, and then it'll begin even next week with that training, 5 days of training, and then going on the U of I campus to witness. So find out more at GospelEncounter.com, GospelEncounter.com. Well, Nick, last Thursday for the ministry leader luncheon, you had about like a 20-minute window to fit in three topics and share a little of your testimony. And so some of that testimony, listening friend, was conveyed yesterday on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. But I wanted to have Nick back because he had three points for us to ponder, to think through, to weigh. And so I wondered if you could maybe give a little summary. As somebody's driving to work today and they need to have something on their heart, and I think God can speak to them through some of the points you made.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that the message was really centered around the idea of that we're stronger together. Mm. We're stronger when we are in unity. And that was one of Jesus's prayers, I think, that you mentioned yesterday, is that we would be one. And so the three points that I really walked us through during that message was that we all have the same mission. Mm-hmm. We all have and fight against the same enemy, and we all preach the same hope. And you don't need to be a pastor. You don't need to be an evangelist. You don't need to be in Christian work. You don't need to do any of that to preach the hope of the good news of Jesus with your life and with your words and with your actions and with how you treat people at your job and your children at your home and your spouse, whether your husband or your wife. We are all preaching a message at all times. And I remember a pastor years ago spoke this into my life, is that, Nick, you're always going to be preaching a message whether your lips are moving or not. Mm-hmm. Make sure that people see that it's the right message. And I really took that to heart. And so out of that message, man, it really just came from this life experience and just seeing that we need to be unified together more now than ever. Mm. And we live in a very polarizing age that can be very divisive very quickly, whether it's, you know, religious beliefs or whether it's our politics or whether it's, you know, whatever, just personal opinions. And we don't need to let things that are not the main thing take the driver's seat and become the main thing. That Jesus is the main thing, that his good news is the main thing, that it's always been the main thing, and it always will be the main thing. Yeah. And so let's make sure that that's what our life is saying more than all of these other things, all of these other many gods that try to get in the way of the capital G, one and only God.
And I think, Daniel, one of the things you have found with the greater Champaign-Urbana and all these ministers meeting together is so many of them have the same heartbeat. They want souls saved. They want the lost to understand God's love, and they want to equip the saints.
Yeah, I mean, everything that Nick was preaching about, I mean, he was hitting a home run right on target. You know, the pastors, they all want to see people saved. They all want to see God work in people's lives, right? But when Nick said, we're stronger together, we're better together, right? I like the saying that says, you know, we're not here to build our own personal castle. We're here to build the kingdom of God. As pastors and churches come together to build the kingdom, this is what I've been telling every pastor and every leader out here. You know who's bringing in the harvest, whose churches will grow from conversions, actual salvations, is going to be the boots on the ground. Mm-hmm. The people who are out here, you know, making connections with these new students that are here, making connections with these families that maybe have been in the town for a while but don't have, you know, anyone to connect with them yet. Mm-hmm. And so he hit it right in the bullseye, man. We are better together.
Mm-hmm. And then, Nick, you went on to talk about the enemy, that many times we just forget that there is somebody that wants to oppose us, derail us, frustrate us, diminish, you know, our testimony or our witness. So what's that enemy we need to be cognizant of?
Yeah, absolutely. The Bible says that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came so that you would have life and have it abundantly in John 10. And so, man, I believe that. I believe that there is an enemy who opposes us, and the Bible calls him the great accuser. And many of us know his voice. We can hear him on our way to work. We can hear him when we snap at our kids. We can hear him when we maybe misspoke to our spouse. We can hear that accuser getting into our minds and in our ears all hours of the day, saying that you're not doing a good enough job, that you're not enough, that you're not able, that you're not capable. And man, that is not the message of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus's message is that, hey, if you are not enough, but you are enough in me, and that I am enough through you. And so I always found that quote so funny. People would say that God will never give me more than I could handle. Mm. And I just found that to be hilarious, because I've never found that to be the case, that God is always, always giving me more than I can handle so that I'll lean on him.
Yeah.
Proverbs 3.
And then close out, we just have a couple minutes left, but for our listener today that maybe is living without hope, they are going through in their minds the rat race of life, mm-hmm. and they don't have ultimate purpose or an eternity, a destiny ahead of them. They just say, I live, I work, I die. Mm. But there is a hope that Christ has paid the price for us to achieve.
Amen. Yeah, and I just want you to know, if you're listening, whether you're driving down the road, whether you're listening to this on a run, whether you're in and out of the door with your kids in one hand and groceries in the other, I just want you to stop for a moment and reflect on the love and the kindness and the mercy of God towards you, that it's not an accident that you're here. It's not an accident that you're listening to this right now, that God loves you and that he is calling you and that he wants you. And that he wants you in a relationship with him. And I just think of this scripture that I responded to when I first became a believer in Jesus, that even though you've run, even though you've gone all the wrong way, even though you've made all the wrong decisions seemingly at every turn, that God still meets you with mercy. That if you would just come home, if you would just place your faith in him, if you would confess him as Lord and Savior of your life, if you would just say, God, I don't know what I'm doing, but I want a new life. I want a fresh start. I want a new beginning. I want you to save me, and I'm placing my faith in you. From this moment forward, would you change my life and change my future? I believe that he will do it. I believe that he'll save you, and that Romans 8, there is nothing in this earth or any place in the universe or anything in the world to come that can separate you from that love of God.
Amen and amen. Well, thank you, Nick, for sharing, for your testimony yesterday, and you, Daniel, for being a part of both of these programs and Gospel Encounter that's being impactful in our greater Champaign, Urbana area and the vicinity. And who knows, you'll probably launch something in Springfield or other parts of our listenership in the days ahead. And I just am so excited what God's doing through your ministry and your passion for the lost. So may God continue to bless both of you and the ministry of Gospel Encounter. As mentioned before, there's a lot going on in the coming days. You can find out more at gospelencounter.com, gospelencounter.com. And I'm just excited to see what God's going to do through all of us praying, for all of us participating, all of us as we go, wherever we go, sharing that good news message of Jesus to this hurting world. God desires all to come to know him, and he wants to work in and through you. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab.
Oh, Father, Father in heaven, thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for us, for our sins. Lord, there might be someone that's listening to what Nick has shared, has listened to Mark and just listened to this program, and they're thinking, wow, my heart is burning inside of me. I feel this pull. Lord, I just pray, pull on their heart even stronger right now. Friend, you can call out to Jesus. The Bible says that we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of God's glory. But the Bible declares that whoever believes in him, whoever calls on his name, they will be saved. They'll be saved from the wrath of God that is to come. And I just want to encourage you right here, right now, where you are. Call on the name of Jesus. Choose Jesus. Because friend, he's already chosen you. His mind is made up about you. And he's not like the friends you had when you were a teenager that said they were going to be your best friend forever, and then now, today, they're nowhere to be found. The Bible says he's not a man that he would lie. But the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. And the Bible declares that he wants you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so, friend, today you can simply pray this prayer. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Change my heart. Cause me to be born again. I give you my life from this moment forward. Thank you for forgiving me. Make me a lifelong disciple. We love you, Lord. Amen. And friend, if you prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you to find a good church to go to. Begin to read the Bible. Start in the Gospel of John. It's a great place to start. And God will reveal himself to you as you seek him.